Might actually have a sunrise service this year where the sun rises over the mountain. It's been a little snowy and rainy and sleety the last couple of years. But it's always a good time to get up early, go celebrate our Lord and Savior on the mountain. It's pretty awesome. If you've never done it, highly recommended. It's a pretty short service. It is usually pretty chilly up there, so I would dress accordingly, like in stocking hat and gloves and long johns and an extra jacket because it's a little breezy up there. But it is pretty awesome to be up on the mountain when the sun's rising and celebrating, remembering that resurrection day when our Lord and Savior walked up out of the grave. And it's awesome. So just go check it out, be a part. It is a community-led service by our local ministers association, so a bunch of the churches get together from throughout the valley and celebrate together. Start our Easter day that way, so go have fun, enjoy. If you need directions, we can do a lot better than the biggest, tallest mountain that way. So do contact Johnny or I. Take the road to Woodland, and when you're overlooking town on the high ridge, that's where it's at. And the big pullout, you'll see people gathered there. Can't miss it. It's right in the middle of the road. But it is fun and exciting. Also, before I get going on the message today, there is a table in the foyer, or foyer if you're French. There's lost and found items there. If they're yours and you don't pick them up today, you can repurchase them at Loving Hands next week. Okay? They're shipping out today, so if it's your stuff, take it home. If not, we're going to donate it and bless somebody else with it through Loving Hands. So thank you for leaving your stuff here and stocking our shelves. Isn't God amazing? Amen. Amen. God is so amazing. He is so wonderful. He is so great. And I hope today's Palm Sunday, a day supposed to be of celebration when Jesus made that triumphal entry back into the city and everybody shouting praises and glory to God and Hosanna in the highest. And here comes the Son of David and town's alive and happening. But there were some people that were doing that and participating with the kingdom of God and what was going on. And there were probably some people sitting in their windows and from afar and just spectating. They weren't engaging, but they were seeing what was happening and they were enjoying the show or the entertainment of what was happening that day. So as we go through the message today, think about where are you? Are you involved and active in the kingdom of God and what he's about doing in the earth today? Or are you just spectating and enjoying the show of seeing what God is doing all around you in the earth today? Because as believers in Christ Jesus, we are not called to spectate. We are called to engage and be an active, vital part of ministry throughout the earth. Every member of the body of Christ is a minister of the gospel of peace. And we don't get to sit on the sidelines. Church is a team sport. And we're all on the field. The field is life. Until we cross into the kingdom of heaven and get to walk down those streets of gold, we are called to be active participants in the kingdom of God, going about the Father's business, bringing glory and honor to his name, bringing the gospel message of peace and salvation to a lost and dying world around us. So where are you in your story? Because it's real easy to move from spectator to engaged. You just have to get up and change a few habits, change a few systems and plans and priorities in your life. Get engaged in what God is doing in the world around us today. Now we're going to jump into the Word. Because I like the Word of God. Palm Sunday. I think about what an exciting day that would have been to be on the streets of Jerusalem that day. See Jesus entering, the whole town shouting, singing his, or probably not the whole town, but a lot of them. The only part that disturbs me about that is that a few days later, those same disciples that were celebrating him abandoned him. They left him. They hung him out to dry, literally. That same city that was saying, "Yay, Jesus," was then screaming, "Crucify him." They moved from ownership being a part of the kingdom of God, to spectatorship. We want some entertainment. Crucify this guy for our entertainment. For me, that's a caution. That's scary. It's like, how quickly can I go from I love Jesus, he's my Lord and Savior, to what can he do for me? God, if you're not producing for me, then you're not worthy of my service. You're not worthy of my time, and I'm going to abandon you. If Jesus' disciples that walked with him through 3 years of ministry and miracles could abandon him in one night, that makes me check myself. Say, Arby, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. How are you and where are you sitting? Where's your seat? Is it on the field engaged? Or is it up in the stands just looking and watching, seeing what God's doing? So I would encourage you this week as we go through Holy Week, Passion Week, and lead up to, of course, crucifixion and then Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday. Be checking yourself. Where am I at, God? What have you called me to do? What am I doing with it? Am I being a good steward of what you've entrusted me with? Or am I just sitting back and enjoying watching the show? Because I love to get together as a corporate body. I love corporate worship. I love to see talented musicians and vocalists praising the King of Kings. But if that's all it's about, I'm here for the wrong reasons. I love to hear excellent speakers that speak well, deliver well, communicate well. I love that. But if that's all it's about, I'm here for the wrong reasons. Because we're supposed to show up in obedience to the Word of God, where it says, gather together with brothers and sisters. Why? For the glory of God, to honor and praise His name. I don't show up because church is good. I don't show up because worship is good. I don't show up because the speaker is amazing and good, according to my own opinion. I show up because I want to honor God with my time. I show up because I want to honor God with my life, and I want to join my voice with other brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus and sing about His goodness and the good things He has done. So we should be showing up on Sunday morning for Him. He's our number one reason that we should be attending, that we should be in service, because it's all about Him. If it's not about Him, I'm going hunting. I'm just being real. If it's not about Him, bear season opened yesterday. Do you think I want to be in church today? My flesh doesn't. It wants to be bear hunting. But my spirit says, I want to honor and praise my Lord and Savior because of not just what He saved me from, but what He saved me to. A life everlasting, eternity with Him. So here I am on Sunday. And the bears are safe because I love Jesus. Is it okay to have fun in church? Oh, good. Because if not, I am in the wrong church. Because I know my God has a sense of humor. Just look at your neighbor and say, my God has a sense of humor. I can tell looking at the mirror. All right, now we're getting serious, okay? Put our serious face back on. I very seldom have a serious face. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, I'm going to read a passage that David read for me earlier, so we're going to just double or triple nail you with this today. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Luke 19, verse 28 through 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd and disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." We're going to break this passage down verse by verse in a moment. But the piece that really sticks in my brain on this is that last line. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And I think, man, where in my life did I not recognize the time of God's coming to me? Kathleen spoke about this a little bit during worship. When God asks you to go and do something, you don't recognize it, or you ignore it, or flat out disobey it. You're not recognizing what God is trying to do because you can't put your own selfish ambitions on the shelf, or your own hurt, or your own pain, or your own whatever, bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy, rage, whatever. You're unwilling to put it on the shelf to say, "Yes, Lord, I will." But man, God, help me to never not recognize when you're coming to me. Because he was coming in peace. He was coming in restoration. He was coming in salvation. He was coming in redemption. He was coming to heal their hearts and heal their land. He was coming to restore all things that were broken and make right again. And they didn't recognize it. And some of them still don't yet recognize it. And they're still walking and looking for the Messiah. They're waiting for his first appearance instead of his return. Some of them are still walking in that blindness. God, help that not be me. God, help that not be us. But let our eyes be sharp and keen to what your Spirit is doing in the land around us. God, that we could follow your plan and will. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Verse 28, after Jesus has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Where is Jesus in your story? Where is Jesus in your story? See a figure you put on the shelf? Something you make mention of occasionally? Is he a storybook? Or is he active and engaged in your life because you've invited him in? Say, "Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me each and every day." Is he like a jacket you take off and hang in the closet? Like, "Oh God, life just fell apart and things got bad. Jesus, come back. Come back into my story." At this point, his disciples are walking and moving with him daily. He's engaged in their life, in their story daily, in every facet of life. Where's Jesus in your story? Verse 29. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "What is Jesus speaking to you? What is Jesus asking of you? What is Jesus calling you to do?" There's some reflection questions. What's he asking of you in this phase of life, in this time of life? That can look very different. I could talk to you for hours about different seasons of life that God has called me to different things. And sometimes the same thing was a yes, and sometimes that same thing was a no. It's not always a once and forever. But what's God asking you right now to do, to be a part of, to be involved in? Sometimes he calls us to wait to that time of rest and refreshing in him. Sometimes he calls us to, okay, I know you're at max capacity, but I need you to stretch a little further and rely on my strength and rely on my rest and to rely on my wisdom and knowledge. And he calls us to get uncomfortable and out of our safe zone, our comfort zone. Says, Arby, I'm going to grow and develop you if you give me your yes. So what is Jesus speaking to you? Verse 30 and 31. Go to the village ahead of you and enter it. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. So where is Jesus sending you? And what is Jesus asking of you? Sometimes the ask is crazy. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Okay, I need somebody here to go downtown. There's a red Mustang parked in front of Ace Hardware. Just hop in and bring it back to me, okay? Bear Claw. That's essentially what he's asking them to do. He got, like, go take somebody's ride and bring it to me. And if somebody asks, just say, oh, the Lord needs it. Does that not sound crazy? Does that not sound weird? And by the way, it's never been driven before. 0 miles, new off the lot. And you're just going to go take it from this guy and bring it for me to use. It'll be okay, don't worry about it. Sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense in our natural mind. We're like, what are you even talking about? And the beautiful thing is if we're obedient and obey, we walk through the process and then we like get through it and it's like, oh my goodness, God, you're so good. I never saw this working out this way. This is way better than I ever thought or imagined. It's almost like he tells us that in his word. His plans are better than we could think or imagine. But we have to be obedient and willing to give that yes, even when it sounds crazy or unrealistic or that's not going to work. Giving God your yes is the best thing you can ever do. Verse 32 through 34. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? Why are you stealing my Mustang? They replied, the Lord needs it. Simple obedience. Go get the colt. Tell them the Lord needs it. No big deal. No problem. For us, this seems like a big deal. We're talking about grand theft felony. Like on a real note, right? I'm going to lose my firearms, my hunting rights. There's a lot on the line here. That's grand theft. That's a felony here. Like Jesus isn't asking them a small thing. In those days, horse thieves were hung, I believe. I know in the West they were, so they had to have before then. It was a big deal. It wasn't like, oh, don't worry about it. Go ahead. There was a lot at stake. But for God, it was no big deal. It was no problem. He had it all ironed out. Verse 35, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloak on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Now this piece just blows my mind. As a horseman, somebody who's ridden a lot of green stock, like you don't just throw a cloak on a horse that's never been ridden and put somebody on top of it. It doesn't work. It's not normal. It's not natural. Somebody's going to get hurt and lose some teeth in the process. Jesus says, yeah, no problem. I'm going to ride that thing. Sometimes what God asks us to do does not make sense at all. It's like, this isn't going to work, God. And he says, trust me. Have I called you to do it? Yes. Then do it in my spirit and not your flesh. All things will work out. And you can do the unthinkable. You can do the impossible if you do it in my spirit and do it in obedience to my call on your life. Because I could go try a bunch of crazy things on Arby's own intuition and fail dramatically. But when God asked me to do it, now I'm not going in Arby's power and authority. I'm going in the power and authority of the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty. Then I can get some stuff done. Verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And some of the other gospels say, and also palm branches, tree branches. And I think about this, like for us, probably most of us have a closet full of coats. I mean, we have enough, we leave them at church and don't worry to come get them for a month or two, right? For them, their cloak was their identifying marker because it was the only one they had. They often recognized people at a distance by their cloak because that's the only one you had. But these people were taking off their one and only, I mean, it's their sleeping blanket, it's their pillow, it's their... This is a multifunctional purpose cloak, right? It's their shade out in the heat of the day. It's their warmth at night. It's their covering. It's their protection. It's their provider. It means so much more to them than what a coat means to us today. Sometimes it was their house. It's what they lived in, they slept in, they ate in. And they're taking them off and laying them at the feet of Jesus in praise and honor and worship to him, giving of their personal one and only possession. Saying, praise be to God. He is worthy of all that we have. They're also cutting off these palm branches, which to us, we live in a forested area. It's not that big of a deal. But if you live in the desert, there's not a lot of trees. And trees are life. Trees produce fruit. Trees produce sustenance. Trees produce shade, which is very limited in the desert. And they're cutting down, self-sacrifice, their cloaks, their palm branches, laying them before Jesus. Saying, you are worthy. And it's a personal sacrifice for them to lay out before the Lord their cloaks and these palm branches to praise him. What is your personal sacrifice that God's asked you to lay before him? What would that look like for you? I'll lay out all 13 of my jackets. What does that look like to you? What is that personal sacrifice God is asking, requiring of you to lay down before him? Verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Celebrate and praise. What has God done in your life? Your goodness. His goodness, his mercy toward you. What do you have to be thankful for, to praise God for, to worship him for? I could think of a long, long list. I woke up breathing again today just to start it off. There was this wonderful bag of freshly baked cookies at the back door when I walked in this morning. Simple things. Thank you, Jesus, that somebody would use their gifts, their talents, their own investment to bake cookies, that we could partake of that. That's worth giving God praise for. Somebody loved us enough to bake fresh cookies today, using gifts and talents that God had given them. Verse 38. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What are your words to God? We can have lots of words to God. He calls us to be open and transparent with him and have communication and conversation with him. But I hope somewhere in your words, it's not always complaining and requests, but somewhere there are words of praise and thanksgiving. God, I'm going through a rough patch and life's not very good right now, but thank you for all the good things you are doing. And focus on all that is going right and is going well and is okay. And God, if I leave this earth, thank you that I have eternity in heaven with you. Thank you that there's hope for tomorrow. Thank you that life isn't over at death, but it's just beginning if I'll accept you as my Lord and Savior. Verse 39, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Talk about misunderstanding. Talk about totally missing the mark. The Pharisees, the most educated, highly proficient in the Word of God people in the day, are totally missing the mark of what the disciples are doing, praising and honoring Jesus, riding into town. And they're saying, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Tell them no." Wow, God, help me to not miss the mark. I often look at other pastors and churches and different things around the globe and think, wow, I don't understand what they're doing. But like, I'm not going to, unless they're out of line with the Word of God, I'm not going to rebuke them for it. I'm not going to talk bad. I might not understand what God's called them to do. Thank you, Jesus, that they're serving you wholeheartedly, and it looks like craziness to me, and I don't get it, but they say they love you. They say they're serving you. And by all evidence of fruit, they are. So praise be to Jesus, they're reaching a whole group of people I'm not reaching, that we aren't reaching. Being misunderstood can be terrible. It's okay to not understand. It's what we do with the not understanding that matters to God. So these Pharisees had this lack of understanding. Don't fall into that. They wanted to be right in that situation. Verse 40, "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If we keep quiet, even the stones will cry out. I think about this passage every time I'm at a waterfall, hearing the water on the stones and the noise and the rhythms, and it's so soothing, and just, you just want to sit down and take a nap. Then a tick crawls up the back of your neck. Like, okay, time to move. It just happened this week, okay? It's fresh. But I think about the sounds and the noises of nature that are just crying out. The wind howling through the trees or through the mountains. The rush of the rivers, the rain pounding, beating. It's exclaiming, proclaiming God, the creator of heaven and earth. Even the earth cries out in praise to God. I think of an elk bugling early in the morning, a turkey gobbling off the roost. Those things have breath in their lungs, and the Word of God says, "Let everything have breath, praise the Lord." I believe they're proclaiming his goodness when they bugle, when they gobble, when the birds chirp and sing. To giving praise to the creator of heaven and earth. They're saying God is real. God is alive. God is well. Cock-a-doodle-doo. If your neighbor has chickens, you won't appreciate that. Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. What makes Jesus weep in your life? What do we do that makes him weep? Say, "Oh, Arby, you're just not getting it. Arby, you're totally missing the mark. This is not what I intended for you. This is not the plan I had for you." What causes him to weep when we fall into sin, when we fall into misunderstanding and run with it, when we turn away from him? We lose our path that he set us on. He's like, "Oh, this is not what I died for, Arby. You're not living up to your potential. You're not living your best life now. I've called you to celebrate and worship me. And right now you've fallen into a spectator role. You're not doing what I've called you to do. You're not being obedient to my word. When we slip from celebration to spectator, Jesus weeps. Verses 42 through 44. And Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Don't miss what God is doing. God is moving. He's alive. He is well. He is among his people. He's still actively working on our behalf. I was thinking this week of all the things God has done, and just been running through my head. It's like, God is so good. And I mean, I could talk to you for hours and hours. I'm going to highlight a few points of church life, of my life, of society. But like, it's unfathomable all that God has done and the little intricate pieces and details. But we used to sing this song, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body, he touched my mind. He saved me, oh, just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Each day he's just the same. I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. What has the Lord done in your life? It was just a reminder of what has God done in my life. Each and every day, praise him for what he's done. Praise him for, I woke up again today. That was a special song from my friend T. It's one of her favorites. She's back there doing the motions, the actions. But it's a simple reminder, God, look at what you have done. Like, we can always focus on what didn't get done or what we thought should have been done. But why would we focus there when we can focus on what the Lord has done? And when I think about us as a body here at the Life Center, some of you may know, may not know, but this is a church that I was born into. It was across town back in the day. And so I've been here a long time, a bunch of years, right? Not as a bunch as some of y'all. But I think about when we were purchasing this property back in the early 2000s, late 90s, 2000. This 8 acres here, and it was like everybody in town said, you can't buy that piece of property. Nobody will sell you that piece of property. You can't afford that piece of property. And we looked at our finances and everything, and as I remember it, as I was a young teenager then, but I remember thinking, yeah, we can't afford that. That's a lot of money. At that time, it was astronomical. But look what the Lord has done. We purchased the property and paid it off in record time. And then we're like, okay, now we have a piece of property, and now we're bouncing from building to building, having church all over town, going wherever we can rent and have space, and we were in about 5 different buildings at that time. And of course, Kelly had this dream of what the Life Center was going to look like and how big it was, and we want a building to seat 500, and he felt that was the number God gave him. And of course, everybody in town says, you can't do that. That's way too much money. That'll never happen. No way. A bank would never loan you money for that. Look what the Lord has done. Yeah. God is so good. And it's a long story of all the miracles that God worked, but we never had a bunch of rich people that said, hey, I'll pitch in all the money for it. Here you go. We had a bunch of faithful people that said, I will pledge $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever their figure was. A bunch of faithful people that believed in the service of the kingdom of God. And dollar by dollar was paid off 2 years ago because of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that he gave us on how to navigate the finances and not go through a bank for loans, but some other processes of private investors. And then all through the recession, we got to pay them extra interest than they could have, better than they could have got anywhere else. So they got blessed, we got blessed. We had local contractors donate equipment and time and all kinds of stuff, just dozens and dozens of miracles. Look what the Lord has done. So those are a couple of natural things you can physically look at and see here in the building. Personally, when I was a teenager, I was diagnosed bipolar. Doctors told me you'll always be depressed, you always have to be on medication, you're always going to need medical assistance. You know, plan for life like this, basically. Look what the Lord has done. I haven't taken an antidepressant in over 2 decades. Thank you, Jesus. I still have some days when I get down and depressed and life just isn't that fun. But I work through it with God. I don't think I'm better off dead most days now. Look what the Lord has done. This is what Christ came to pay for. Give glory and honor to God and all that he does. When I was about 25, I had a terrible MRSA staph infection. It got into my lungs. The doctor said, well, you're not going to make it. No one's ever lived with this in a vital organ. So we can keep you comfortable here or you can go home and die. What do you prefer? That's the nutshell version of it all. I was like, well, I'm not dying in a hospital. I'm going home. So I went home to die. I really thought there was one Sunday morning I remember. I watched Kathleen, the kids, leave for church. I was laying on my couch, knowing that I would not be there when they came home. Knowing that I was going to breathe my last in a few hours. And then my dad walked through my door. I'm like, why are you at church? Because he listened to the Spirit and he went and prayed for someone instead of showing up to church. That someone was me. And from that point on, complete health transformation started to heal and repair. Do what the Lord's calling you to do. Look what the Lord has done. It took 10 years, but I can play basketball again. I can still feel the effects of it in my lungs. But I'm alive, I'm well, I'm breathing. I get winded a little easier than maybe normal people. But thank you, Jesus. Give praise and honor and glory to God. Just recently, 2 weeks ago or less, had this healing in my back. 20 years ago, I had a horse ride me instead of me ride it. Broke my back. I have suffered with chronic back pain since then. I'd have a good day or two out of a month, maybe. But it was not fun. Now the not fun is getting back into shape. My muscles hurt. Well, thank you, Jesus. He's still alive and well and working among his people. Now let's get on to some of the good stuff he's done. He has made a way for us to be free in who he's designed us to be as unique individuals, made in his image and likeness. one of my greatest freedoms is being okay in my own skin, not feeling like I have to measure up and be who somebody else says I should be, but being okay with, I'm Arby. You can like me, you can love me, or you can not like me, but I'm okay with that because I know Jesus loves me and he thinks I'm to die for. All right, big picture, across the globe, salvation. Thank you, Lord God. You're worthy of praise because you provided a way for me to escape the pit of hell for eternity through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work he did on the cross, that I could be saved, that my sins could be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't have anything else to thank God for in your life, that alone is enough to give him praise and honor and glory every day, because he made a way for eternity, not just this life, but the afterlife. He came for redemption. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He promises his unfailing love towards us, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with. Those are all reasons to celebrate who God is. Celebration points to Jesus. Entertainment points to me. Don't just be entertained by what God has done, but celebrate what he has done. Tell of his goodness, tell of his love, tell of his mercy. Learn to celebrate in your life all that God has done. Learn to celebrate the good things, even some of the bad things, the painful things. They still grow and develop us. They stretch us. They increase our faith. They increase our love. They increase our forgiveness. They increase our capacity to have compassion for those around us. So, Father, we thank you. God, that you are alive and well, and you are among us. God, we thank you. God, for all your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. God, for your forgiveness. God, for your Son that came. God, to pay for our sin. God, that we may have eternal life. Father, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you today. God, we give you glory and honor for who you are. And Father, I ask you be with each and every individual as they go today, God, that you would speak to them throughout this week. God, showing them where you are in their story, God. God, showing them, reminding them of what you've called them to do, who you've called them to be. God, what you've asked of them. And God, that they would be attentive to your calling. God, that they would be obedient to your call and your word. God, that they would engage, God, in your plan for this earth, bringing your kingdom, God, to earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you, God, that we are chosen. God, we thank you that we are worthy through your Son Jesus to be a part of your plan. God, we give you praise and honor and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll wrap up with a few announcements here. You have your Connect card inside the folder if you want to grab that out, fill that out. Also, the ushers will be by to collect offering and tithe in a moment. You can find that envelope in your folder if you need it as well. On your Connect card today, prayer request on the back. Whether you want just the Life Center staff team to be praying for that need or send out to our email, make sure you mark that box. People who get prayed for do better. And when we pray for you, we love to hear what God has done. We love to hear what God is doing in your life. Answers to prayer so we can celebrate with you. Make sure you write that, send that in as well. They don't have to be just prayers on there. We'll take praise. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning tithe and offering. If you would drop your Connect cards in the offering baskets as they come by as well, that would be awesome. And then I'm going to invite our prayer team forward. So we're going to give you an opportunity to be prayed for today or be prayed with. Listen to the rain singing God's praise. What? Okay. So Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your gifts, your talents, your abilities you've placed inside of us, God, that we could go out, God, and God, earn an income, God, have jobs and support our families and those around us, God. We thank you for the opportunity to give back into your kingdom. God, a portion of that which you've blessed us with, Father, and we just thank you, God, that you bless it, God, for the use of your kingdom and the multiplication of your glory throughout the earth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Trina up. She has an announcement.
They can hear me.
Online they can't. Do you have a microphone still? Can we use my mic?
So I just wanted to let you know that next Sunday we are having our traditional treasure hunt, which is we have a lot of prizes for the kids. We put them out on the field and we let them go. It's little kids, 3 years old or wherever, toddlers, to fifth grade, and we hide them out here. And I am prepared for any weather. So they are waterproof. So just know that no matter, despite the weather, we're going to go ahead and have it. It's directly after service. It's something that we've done traditionally here for years. And invite little kids. It's a good opportunity for kids to come and have fun and engage with you. And then, you know, they think, wow, that was sort of a fun church to go to. And they might want to come back later. So just so you know that we are doing that next Sunday, directly after service.
All right, so the great treasure hunt will be happening next Sunday right after service. Right out back here, so show up. Invite kids, bring your neighborhood kids. Also today, the Valley Singers are at St. Catherine's Church at 3 p.m., so if you want to go there, check that out. Also remember your lost and found items on the way out today. And I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. If you have any prayer needs today, just need somebody to agree with in prayer. Anything regarding the message today, maybe you want to come and repent and say, man, I've been disobedient to everything God has asked me in the last 10 years, and I want to change that today. Come forward, get prayer. Also, Holy Week is starting tonight. Services down in Orfino at Cross Connections Church. It's there in Riverside, just beyond Subway a little ways. That starts tonight. I'll be speaking tonight. And then in your bulletin, there is a, on the back of your calendar, there is a flyer with all the information of all the speakers and times throughout the week and the topics or Bible stories they'll be discussing that night. So come down, join us 6 p.m. in Orfino tonight or throughout the rest of the week. God bless you guys. Come forward and get prayer today. Father, we ask your blessing, God, of peace. God, we ask your blessing and protection as everyone travels home today, God, that you would just protect us, God, and use us, God, to promote your gospel of peace to the world around us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come forward, get prayer. God bless you guys.